Good to go?
Yep.
G'day guys. Thanks for coming along. It's quite nice to see Config Manager guys in the big room for once. Normally just the Exchange or SharePoint guys who get to stand up on the big stage. Welcome to SIM 424.
Yep, that's correct.
Really crappy name, Implementing Security Compliance Manager for Compliance in SECM 2012. To kick off, we've actually got some t-shirts here, so I think we're just going to chuck them out to you guys rather than taking questions. So if you want to chuck your hand up, if you want one, everyone. Okay, one over this side.
You got to go down there.
Oh, nice. Wasn't too dangerous. So this is a level 400 presentation today. There's not too many of them around TechEd, so if you haven't been to one before, generally they're pretty dry and pretty boring and pretty wordy. Georgie and I have spent a fair bit of time making sure that we got some really juicy demos and not just talking for an hour and 15 minutes. So hopefully you get a lot out of it. We're around all week, so feel free to come and have a chat to us about anything Config Manager. Better turn this on. There we go. By way of introductions, I'm Matt Shadbolt. This is George Sparakis.
How's it going?
We're both Config Manager PFEs, or Premier Field Engineers, for Microsoft. For those of you without Premier contracts, our day-to-day job is to do wraps, reactive support, proactive support, and training sessions like this. So I'm sure a lot of you have been into our workshops before. If not, have a chat with us later, and we can get you in. Kick into today's agenda. What is Security Compliance Manager? Show of hands, has anybody heard of Security Compliance Manager? So just a few of you. Cool. What's compliance settings in Config Manager? So we're talking specifically about 2012 today, but some of these settings also translate over to the 2007 version of the product as well. We're going to hit in some killer features of compliance settings and Security Compliance Manager, and then we're going to finish up with a real-world demo from Georgie. So what exactly is Security Compliance Manager? Well, basically, it's a free tool. It's a solution accelerator that Microsoft provides to help you create and model group policy objects for your servers, workstations, and applications. We can do baselines against best practice for Windows OS, both server and workstation from XP Service Pack 3 up. We have policies for Exchange 2007, 2010, and then your server roles as well. So your best practice policies for DHCP, AD domain controls, and so forth. And then the client side, we've got settings for Internet Explorer and Office, both the computer settings and user settings. Can you also use SCM to actually model and create your own custom GPOs? And then actually use the tool to compare your custom GPOs to Microsoft best practice. So we can actually quite easily see which settings we got configured against Microsoft best practice and then kind of work out why. In terms of exporting, we can export to Excel, which is a really nice feature. So if you've got your SharePoint site, why not just export those policies every couple of months and just make sure that there's no drift happening with those policies. We can also export to CAB and SCAP, which is a baselining sort of product. In the 2.5 version, which came out not long ago, we've also got a new feature called Apply Group Policies to Local. So we can actually get these GPOs, all these baselines out of SCM and apply them to your computers that aren't domain joined. So this is perfect for those DMZ computers which aren't joined to your domain, but you still want to apply those standard security policies. We can also apply them to our base WIM as well. So before we even deploy out an operating system, we can make sure that our policies are applied. Finally, there's a whole bunch of security policy and guidelines and documentation in the tool as well. So jump in there and read up on what policies should be set and what shouldn't be. First demo. Two. Righto. So the first thing I'm going to show you is Security Compliance Manager. Let's kill this one down here. So straight away, we'll launch it up. I've already got it installed and pre-configured here. It's pretty straightforward. It's on that previous slide, I've got a download link to actually download the application. It'll install SQL Express. It'll import all of the baseline policies that we provide with the product straight out of the box. We can see the baselines here. So straight away, Microsoft baselines. We can see the Exchange Server baselines. And for example, we've got CAS policies and Edge policies. So these, with Exchange, you're generally going to bounce all these roles off onto separate servers. We want to actually apply specific policies based on role. So the CAS server might have specific settings that we don't want to be putting on our Edge server or our Hub server. We quickly take a look at Internet Explorer here as well. We've got our user and computer security compliance. Office, we've got a bunch of policies. 2007's got even more. And you can see all the operating system versions up here as well. We're assuming there will be an update at some point for Windows 8 and Server 2012. But the policies we're going to look at today are going to be based around Windows 7. So if I just click on the computer security compliance here, we're going to see all of these properties load up. There should be about 260-something. 261. So straight away we can see that there's a name column. This name column is translated directly to your GPO. So all those settings in your GPOs are listed along here. And then we've got three columns, default, Microsoft, and customize. So your default is actually what's set by default, obviously. Microsoft is our Microsoft best practice. So you can actually see a couple of them here I can find. The logons, for example. So by default, we set it to 10. Microsoft best practice says 2 logons. But we can actually go through and change these as well. And when we change them, you'll see that they're actually bolded out, so we can easily see which settings we've modified. Now, these ones here particularly, we can't modify directly from within the console. We actually need to duplicate them first, so then they turn into write mode. So we're just going to go duplicate. And we're going to call it demo of. Going to save it out, and it'll actually jump up into our custom baselines. There we go. We should have all 261 unique settings here. And now we can actually go through and change some of these. So for this particular demo, we're going to change three settings. We're going to enable RDS. We're going to set which users are able to remote desktop into these computers. And we're also going to disable the firewall. So this console's been a little bit flaky of late on this machine, so hopefully it doesn't die. But if we go to the domain firewall policy here, this is one we see a fair bit at customers. So they'll have the private and the public firewalls enabled, but then they're not going to have that the domain firewall enabled for their domain joined computers. So if I click away from there, you'll actually see that because we've modified that setting, it's been bolded up. Second two we're going to go to is the remote desktop or remote access. So the first thing we need to do is determine which users we're actually going to allow to remote desktop into these machines. So we now define it by unticking the not defined, a bit of reverse logic there, and we're just going to add administrators in. Come on. Cool. The next we're going to do is actually enable RDS. So those two policies should just allow any user of the administrators group to be able to remote desktop into our machines we apply this policy for. So now that we've changed this policy and we've got all of these, every one of these steps here is a Microsoft best practice guidance, and it's going to wrap up and make this big one GPO object. So what we're going to do is go export to GPO backup, and we're going to chuck it in this demo one folder. It's pretty quick. There it goes. So we can see this long UID, and we can see a whole bunch of settings in here. Registry policy and so forth. Now, to actually apply these policies to our target computers, we need to open up our group policy management console. We'll expand it out. What we actually need to do is create a brand new GPO, but leave it blank. If we go new, and we should be able to see that there's no settings in this policy now. Next step is to actually import these settings. So we're going to right-click and go Import Settings. Next, we can actually merge and import settings from other policies to policies that you've already configured. So it's always good practice for us to back that up just in case we apply a setting that that we didn't mean to. Next, picked up the backup folder for us. We can see that demo of Win, so that was the name that we gave when we created this baseline in SCM. We're going to go Next. Follow the bouncing ball, really. We're just going to copy identically and then finish. If we have a look at the settings now, we should have a whole bunch of settings. So if we go to security, firewall, we can now see that it's off. Cool. What we're then going to do is target this GPO to our GPO's applied OU. Really simple. and that should be applied to our machine. So if we go across to our Windows 7 client, first of all, I'm going to make sure Windows Firewall is turned off. So we've got them all off now. And then we're going to run GP update. There's not too many policies, so it shouldn't take too long. There we go. If I just kill this this MMC, that's our policy that's been applied, UAC. And we can see that's turned off. So it's really simple. We should also see if we come up to our remote settings, it's going to get annoying. And we can see that's enabled. One other thing before I hand over to Georgie was to actually show you how we can compare these baselines. So within the console, we know that we've changed those three settings away from Microsoft best practice. So you could have a whole bunch of settings here. You can import all your GPOs as well. So if you wanted to bring all your GPOs in and do comparisons and see what the AD guys have done wrong and what they should be doing, it's kind of a nice way to escalate up to your boss and get them in trouble. If we go to, where is it? It is compare slash merge. And we just select our baseline that we couldn't change. So this is the Microsoft baseline here, computer security compliance. What we should do is we should see what has what differ and what match. So straight away we can see that these three settings here. We can export to Excel again, so we can actually see what those AD guys have configured and what they should be configuring. So that's SEM. Cool tool? Yes. All right.
Can you delete that GPA and apply it to the workstation?
For sure.
Yeah. Let's just swap back over. All right. So in 2007, we had a feature called Desired Configuration Management. And what that actually was, and I assume some people know what it is or have seen it before, what that actually was it allowed us to actually check compliance against particular items against our fleet. So, for example, if there was a file that a piece of software to deploy to our fleet when we were building workstations, we could actually use DCM to check for compliance against that, look for anything that's not compliant, and then deploy that. So, but moving into Config Manager 2012, it's now called Compliance Settings rather than DCM. But it's not just for compliance that we use compliance setting. It's also the backbone for application detection, applicability, and also endpoint protection compliance. But its main function is for compliance. So some key concepts. Configuration items. These are what we actually use to set what we're actually going to check for compliance against. And there's lots of different methods that we use to create configuration items. There's AD queries, assembly, file system, IIS metabase, the two main ones, which is reg key and value, and script. And we can do PowerShell, VB, script, and JScript. We can also do SQL query, WQL query, or WQL, if some people call it, and XPath query.
What's an XPath query, George?
That's what we use to check XML files, young Matthew.
Nice answer.
Thanks for that question. Really appreciate it. So what we actually do when we're checking for compliance is we use Boolean logic, so equals, greater than, etc. And there's actually four severity levels we can choose. Information, warning, critical, and critical with event. So critical with event is important if we want to use create any alerts in Operations Manager. So we can actually report in the event, event viewer what the actual issue is. The other concept we've got is configuration baselines. What we actually do with a baseline is we add our configuration items to the baseline. We can also add other baselines that we've created in the past to a configuration baseline. And one of the best things is we can actually add software updates to a baseline. So if I've gone and deployed 10 patches to a baseline in the first place, last month I should say, I can then add those patches to my baseline and then check for compliance against the fleet. What we then do once we create our baseline is we want to deploy to a collection. And this is the best thing about it in 2012 and also in 2007. If I want to deploy to my IIS servers or my SQL servers or only part of my workstation fleet, I can do that. I just target those collections and deploy to them. We can also generate alerts, and we can specify whatever evaluation schedule we want. We also utilize SSRS reporting, SQL reporting services. There's 15 built-in reports, but of course you can actually go and customize those reports, which is what I'd recommend in most, for everybody if you take the time to do that. So let's actually jump in and have a quick look. I love that transition. All right. Going to CM12. Nice and fast. So in our workspace under assets and compliance, you can actually see we've got compliance settings. So what we're going to do is I'm going to create two configuration items. One configuration item that's going to look for the minimum pin length for BitLocker. And also another one that's going to check my local admins and make sure that I've got only the appropriate admins inside there. So one being a reg value, one being a script. So just right click, create configuration item. I love this microphone. It makes me sound awesome. So BitLocker minimum pin length. Just going to name it. I'm going to specify what type of configuration item it is, in this case Windows or mobile device, and I'm going to do a Windows one. I can also, if I wanted to, specify an application setting to see if this item is actually applicable to that environment if that application is installed. We click Next. Here we can select what operating system we want. We'll leave it at default. We can also, if we wanted to, specify the operating system ourselves. So we'll just leave that at default. Click Next. This is where we actually set what we're looking for. So this is my challenge, Matt, isn't it? Try and remember the registry key. So I'm going to set the setting type. And you can see here, this is where I can select all the different methods. I'm going to select registry value. And we're actually looking for an integer. All right. Matt's challenge to me was not to use the text file that he wrote. Let's hope I get this right. Software policies / Microsoft. / FVE.
Nice.
I'm on fire. And it's minimum pin.
Obviously, if you misspell this, you're not going to be compliant.
Yeah, you want to get it right.
It's very important that you get it right.
So now that I've actually done that, so I've specified what I'm actually looking for in the first place. What is it that I'm going to look for that's going to tell me whether it's compliant or not? Minimum pin. I'm going to select value, and that the value equals 5 is what we're looking for. Now, this is down here, you can see this is where I'm actually specifying the severity. So information, warning, critical, and again, critical with the event if I want to report to Ops Manager. So click on critical, click OK, and click OK again, and we just go next. I've already set my compliance rule, and obviously I can set more than one particular compliance rule for a configuration item. Click next, I'll get my summary, next. And we'll just wait for that to finish, and we'll create a second configuration item. There we go. Close up. Create a new one, create a configuration item. And now I'm going to be doing the local admin one. So local admin, again, Windows, click Next. Leave that at default. Next, so new. Local admin. And now I'm going to be looking for a script. So script. Data type is a string, and I'm click on Add Script for the discovery. And this is where you can see where I can select Windows PowerShell, VBScript, or JScript. Simple as clicking Open. And here's a PowerShell script that you whipped it up about 5 minutes ago, mate.
Yeah.
And we can see inside the script, so everyone can actually understand, we're actually looking for administrator and domain admins. Now, if they're both in there, we get a compliant return. If there's more than those inside our local admins, we'll get non-compliant. So I'm going to be lazy. I'm going to copy it. Click OK. I'm going to go to my compliance rules tab. Click New. So local admin. And we're looking for compliant. And yep. And we're going to report that as critical. Click OK. And OK again. Next. 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 And we're done. And let me just double check this because I'm not sure if I actually set the severity level.
Yeah,
I did. It's critical. All right, so that's done now. I've got my two configuration items and they're created. So now I actually have to create a configuration baseline. So click on configuration baselines. Right click, create configuration baseline. And we'll call it Windows 7 baseline. Nice and simple. This is where actually I can add my configuration items, software updates, or other baselines. So we'll just click on configuration items. There's BitLocker minimum pin length. Click that. Add local admin as well. Both in there. Click OK. Click OK again. And there it is. So now I need to deploy it. So I'll go to the ribbon, which Matt doesn't love, but I do. We click on Browse. Select the collection that we want to deploy it to. Select Windows 7 Compliance. Click OK. Now I'm going to change the schedule to once every 5 minutes. I wouldn't suggest doing this in your production environment, but we'll do it for our demo. Click OK. And you'll see down here under Deployments, I actually have my Windows 7 Compliance deployment. So now I'm going to jump onto my client. We need to set up Windows Update, Matt. Go to Config Manager, Actions, Machine Policy Retrieval and Evaluation Cycle. All right, and this is where I'm hoping that all goes good. Let's give that a... Oof.
That's quick, wasn't it?
That's good. Config Manager's fast. No more slow-moving software. It doesn't exist anymore.
All right. If you hit the policy retrieval button.
And if we only... Yeah, we're not going to go. All right, so I'm going to select the baseline that I actually want to evaluate. I click Evaluate. And then you can see it's running an evaluation. And we're non-compliant. So I'll just click on View Report and find out what's going on. So it's telling me, okay, so for the BitLocker admin pin, you can see I'm compliant. Everything's good. But for local admin, I'm non-compliant. So we go to local admin. We're getting that return non-compliant, so that's the value we got from the script. So let's have a quick look and see what's going on. So we'll just go manage. Local users and groups, go to administrators. Yeah, some dodgy help desk users there, mate. That's the problem.
Can't trust them.
No. So we'll just remove them. Click apply. Click OK. Get out of that. And just so you can actually see the reg value, reg edit. We can see policies, Microsoft, FVE, and minimum pin is at 5, so that's why we're compliant there. So just jump in again. I'll select my baseline. I'm going to reevaluate now that I've gotten rid of the dodgy help desk user. And bang, we're compliant. And if we click on review report again, you can see that we're compliant and everyone's happy.
Isn't that cool?
Woo!
All right. Switch her across. Cool. So obviously, really, the options are limitless for you guys to use this sort of tool, report that compliance. I think it's a really good feature. A lot of people don't realize they have it, and it was in 2007 as well, so just use it. But what are the killer features? I'm sure you've all been waiting for this slide. Killer features in 2012 and SEM. So first of all, SEM. Straight out of SEM, we can export our baselines to DCM or compliance settings, which is awesome. So you've got all these policies that you've created, you've deployed them to all of your clients, and you're just kind of hoping that GPO is doing it and there's no computer that's, you know, blocking inheritance or some dodgy help desk user has moved an IIS server into an RDS OU and they're not getting those policies. So what we can do is export these baselines straight out into compliance settings and then report our clients based on that. So those IIS servers that shouldn't be in the RDS and shouldn't have remote desktop services enabled, we can see straight away and you can tell those guys to fix them. In Config Manager 2012, we can import these baselines and then actually use this great feature called auto remediation. So rather than just reporting on our compliance like we did in 2007, in 2012 we can actually fix these problems if they come up. So for example, the registry key set to 5. If one of your users changes it to 3, they shouldn't be doing that, but if they do, then we can not only report that non-compliance, but actually flip that bit and make sure it's back to 5.
Demo up. Long transition. Change the ridge key to 3 for me.
Cool. Righto. So what we're going to do to show the SEM demo is I've got a pre-canned policy here called disable RDS. And we've got, again, back in our tool, we've got this export SECM DCM 2007. So this, again, function works exactly the same as 2012, but in 2007 you're not going to be able to fix these problems. You'll just report the compliance from. So we can actually see that we've got not configured and so forth. Deny logon through remote desktop. And we're just going to export this to a DCM CAD. Call that demo. It's just going to go into my docs. And we just get this little CAD file. Next thing we're going to do is just import it. Click on our import configuration data. You can do that from the ribbon too if you're so inclined. My docs and disable. Just a security warning. That's cool. We made it ourselves. We're going to hit the create new copy of the imported configuration baseline. If you don't do this, then we get errors. So do that if you've imported one previously. We're going to go next, and we can see straight away that what we're going to do is automatically create a configuration item, this disable RDS remote access, and also the baseline that we can then go and deploy to our machines. It's really simple, and you can think of all those complex GPOs that your AD guys have got. We can just yank them in from a GPO backup and create baselines just like that. It's so much better than going through and typing in reg keys and writing scripts. So if we have a look at our configuration items, we should be able to see here a disable RDS remote access. I just want to show you the complexity of this. So yeah, we can check registry keys, all that sort of stuff, and it's a bit of a pain to write them manually. But if we have a look at the allow users to connect remotely, we'll find that it's actually a script, and it's a VB script that's come out of the tool, and you can see how quite complex it is. So this is stuff that you guys don't have to write. This is coming straight out of the tool. If you want to check for the compliance of that setting, then bang, it's going to come straight out. So what we then do is deploy that to our workstation collection, make sure that its RDS is disabled, and she's all good to go. So that's our SCM killer feature. Now if we have a look at the auto remediation, so Georgie over here created our BitLocker minimum pin length before. What we're going to do is actually configure this to auto remediate the setting. If we go to our settings, we can see that it should equal 5. Our compliant rules, sorry. Should equal 5. We've also got this option to remediate non-compliant rules when supported. So I've seen on a few blogs that what does non-compliant rules when supported mean? Basically what this is we can only use the equal Boolean logic. We can't do greater than, we can't do less than. And it kind of makes sense when you think about it, because SECM won't know what value to set that to unless it's an equals. So if we say greater than 5, Config Manager won't know whether to set that setting to 6, 7, 8, or 1,000. So if it's equals, we know that setting must equal 5. So it's really simple. We just tick remediate non-compliant rules when supported. I don't think in this section here, but you can always script it. So if we actually come back to here and we create a new, I'll show you in a second. You can do anything you want to script. So that'd be the way that you do it. I'm expecting 1 of 10 values. So depending on some sort of check, that we can set something else. Yeah. So we've just saved that off, have we? Yep. Remediate equals yes. The second thing that we need to do is actually go to our baseline and modify the deployment type. It's Win7 baseline. So this is actually kind of handy because what you could do is create one CI for your test workstations and your production workstations. That's set to auto-remediate. but only remediate on those that we're actually deploying to that test collection. So we can use that for a whole bunch of testing, and then when we're done, we just, you know, move this deployment over to your production collections, and you should start auto-remediating. We can also allow remediation outside the maintenance windows as well. So if you've got maintenance windows on your clients or your servers, we obviously don't want to muck around with settings and so forth at 2 o'clock in the afternoon when people are working. We can wait until those maintenance windows, just like we would do for server patching or application installs. We've got our simple schedule over here. Every 5 minutes, we're going to try and do it. And that should be ready. So if we bring over to our client now, actually, what I might do is show you the script first. So if we have a look at this local admin setting, and this is actually in the settings section here, if we open this up, what we can do is add a script to actually do that remediation side. So if you've got complex scripts to look for your local admins and make sure that there's only domain admins and local admins in there, and you come up as non-compliant, you could easily have a script to remove all those other dodgy help desk users, and bang, they're going to be gone. So that's really handy. And then, yeah, do your advanced logic. Come over to our Windows 7 client. Going to use our friend, the policy refresh. Hopefully that comes across quickly enough. So Georgie here is a dodgy user, and he's set that minimum pin length to 3. So when we run the compliance check against it, we would be expecting for that to change to 5. And there we go. Awesome. Killer feature, yeah? Yep.
When this provider has been changed, do you still get notified or admin get notified somehow?
No. Not at all. Exactly. No. You're probably going to be in the DCM logs, but you're not going to get a notification of it, no. So I've got a line later. Auto-remediation can be good, but it also can be bad. So you need to be really confident that you're remediating the right settings and you're targeting the right collections, because you obviously don't want to be changing settings too flippantly. So that's our two killer features. I think Georgie's going to give us a real-world demo now.
Yes. All right, so what we've done is we've come up with a few different scenarios based on experiences that Matt and I have had out in the field. So what we're going to be talking about now is 4 different scenarios where we've got an issue in a business and what we can do for that and then what the result of that is. So what we typically find when people have got, people build their SOEs, they usually tattoo the registry with the version of the SOE. But what happens when there's something wrong with an older build or there's a critical hotfix that needs to be applied to that build? We can go and create a configuration item to look for that particular reg key and then report what's non-compliant against that. And when we do that, we can actually go and target machines that we want to rebuild them, or we can go and apply any specific hotfixes that we need to that particular SOE. Another issue we found is obviously antivirus. So for endpoint protection, we not only want to deploy to all our fleet, we want to know that it's actually gone down, whether it's part of the build or we're doing it through policy. We want to ensure that it's actually gone to our workstations and our servers. So we create a configuration item that's based on the file, and the executable in this case, and then we create non-compliance and create collections based on that non-compliance, and then we can target those. We can create an application and we can deploy that application to those workstations or servers to ensure that it actually goes down. Also, Windows Update Service has started. If the update service isn't started, that's critical. We can't scan and we can't apply security patches. So we obviously create a CI to check the state of the Windows Update Service and then go and remediate that as we need to based on non-compliance. The final one is Windows Firewall Policy. Has someone gone in there as the local admin, potentially developers, not targeting anybody. I love your developers, you're awesome. And have they changed the firewall settings? We can go and create, we can actually, and I'll show you in a second, we can actually export some settings from SCM for firewall policy that actually will tell us whether workstations are compliant or servers are compliant or not. So we'll actually jump in, have a look. Cool transition. I'm going to try and use your mouse, Matt. All right. So let's have a quick look at the configuration items. So you can see we've pre-populated all these. So the first two are the firewall policy, and there I won't go into them. Matt's already shown you some of the details of the settings in there. These are two settings that we've exported from SCM and then imported into 2012. When we're looking at the next one, which is System Center Endpoint Protection Exists, if we actually open that up, this one's based on a file. So when we go into settings, we can see that we're looking for the MSMP ENG executable, specifying the path, and specifying the file or the folder name. And when we go into the compliance rules, we're specifying that it's actually the file that actually exists. What we can also do, though, is if I go create a new one, I can go and specify different properties of the file, so date modified, created, the size of it, product name, file version, company details, hash, attributes, permissions. So I can do multiple checks for that, which you'll probably need to do, because in many cases, the executable existing is not necessarily going to tell you that that's the version that you want in the first place. So we'll just jump out of that. So SOE registry, similar to what we did before with the BitLocker key, we're just checking a registry value. You can see we're specifying a registry value, system real world code, SOE version. When we go to compliance rules, this is relevant to what Matt was saying. So we're looking for SOE reg value greater than or equal to 4.1. So we're not going to go and auto-remediate that. In fact, I don't even have an option to auto-remediate that. Now, the other thing I didn't mention before, because I was trying to shy away from the remediation component until Matt mentioned it, was report non-compliance if this setting instance is not found. So if the reg key doesn't actually exist, we can also report that it's non-compliant. If someone's gone and deleted the reg key or something happened to the build and didn't actually tattoo it, we can report on that also. This also points out another good thing in that if I'm looking for a specific version of a SOE and I change that to equals, or if this was able to change that to 4.1, even if it was greater than or equal to, and I change that setting, I've effectively just lost any, potentially the only option, opportunity I have to find out what version of the SOE you've actually got on your workstation. So I've just gone and changed the reg key to 4.1. So you've just got to be a bit careful when you do the auto remediate. Just make sure it does exactly what you want it to do. We'll just jump out of that. Okay, and this is a pretty cool one. Checking for the Windows Update Service started. When we go into settings, you can see we're using a WQL query. So we go into WMI, specifying the namespace, the class, the property, and here's our WQL query, looking for the WUAU serve, the Windows Update Service. When we actually go into the compliance rules, we're actually checking to see if that's started. And if it's not started, then we can then go and remediate. So one other thing slightly off topic, before I jump into the client and see whether it's compliant or not. So we actually go into our baselines, and this can be on anything. If I have a baseline and I click on deployments, one really cool feature that you can do now is you can right-click on that deployment, click on create new collection. And I can actually go and create a new collection based on compliance for that baseline or non-compliance. So if I click on non-compliant for Windows 7 compliance, you can see it's actually just named it for me. I click next. It's already created the query for me as well. Click next again, next. Yeah, so it's the baseline's gone out and it's found 300 workstations that are non-compliant. They will automatically populate in that, and it'll be a dynamic query, so it'll populate. So you could then go and if it was a skip, for example, I could create a non-compliant collection, deploy my application to that collection, and then as those machines get skip and the compliance rules runs once a day or once a week or whatever it might be. Then they should come out of that collection once the collection updates and they become compliant.
And when somebody uninstalls Skep, then they should automatically jump into this collection and get that installed. So
yeah,
it's pretty cool.
So if we just jump into it, it might have populated. It's already populated. So it's actually already evaluated before. We can see our Win7 client's not compliant on at least one setting of the CI. So we jump into the Win7 client. We can see there's our real world example. Let me just minimize all this other stuff. Click on evaluate. And of course we know that it's already non-compliant because I've shown you that in the collection. When we actually view on the report, we're actually non-compliant against pretty much everything. We actually would have been compliant against the firewall if I hadn't asked Matt to take the SCM policy off. But you can see that our firewall settings are non-compliant. SARI registry is not compliant, which means we might need to rebuild or apply a specific hotfix. SCEP's not compliant, so we're going to have to deploy the endpoint protection agent to it. But at least our Windows Update service is started. And when we actually jump into these settings, you can actually see what they're looking for. So we're looking for anything greater than zero for the firewall, and it actually is zero, so it's not compliant. Same with the other firewall rule. We're looking for a SOE version greater than or equal 4.1, and we're at 3.5. And does the msmpg.eng.exe exist? We're looking for anything not zero, and their value is zero. So it doesn't exist. We obviously have some issues. And that is that.
It's really exciting, I think. I was speaking with a SharePoint guy yesterday and trying to say, sell him how good compliance settings are. And even just to be able to look for that file, so make sure that your web.config is at the same version, it's the same size and the same date modified across your 30 SharePoint servers. We can do that within Config Manager. So I think it's an awesome technology. So we're coming up to the end. But to close out, I just wanted to give you a few pointers around things that we see before I hand over to George to actually close it out. Security Compliance Manager is free, so just use it. There's absolutely no reason, if anything, just to point out that your AD guys aren't as good as they think, but also to do your compliance and really take a whole bunch of work away from scripting and finding those reg keys that you're looking for group policy objects. If you've got Config Manager 2012, you've got compliance settings. So even if it's just your workstation stuff, just to make sure that semantic.exe is at the same version that it should be, use it. Absolutely no reason not to use it. And it's not only for servers. So a lot of our customers will only use DCM for servers or the compliance settings for servers. Mm. We can do it across workstations. You probably don't want to be as strict across your workstations, but there's no reason why you can't. Export your GPOs, import your GPOs, and show your AD guys how non-compliant they are. They think they own the network. Just show them those Microsoft best practices. And script your CIs carefully. This is one that I stress to customers all the time. So we're basically running any script that you put in that PowerShell or VB script under system context, and we're not going to check someone. We're not going to make sure it's a good script. We're just going to run it. So if you've got dodgy scripting skills and you're going to make a script that runs for 65 minutes, evaluates every 60 minutes, and it's going to peg your CPU at 99%, we're going to do that. So really make sure your scripts are good. And finally, as I was saying before, report first, auto remediate second. You don't want to be going in and changing settings that you're not super confident that need to be changed and they're targeted to the right machine. So by all means, run that up. Untick that little report, remediate if supported, and get all your compliance settings through, make sure you're happy with them, and then tick your auto remediate.
So just some related content. Two more sessions in our stream. There's the System Center 2012 app management, migrate from Config Manager 2007 and 2012. There's also an SP1 session tomorrow, which might be worth
rescheduled, I think. Yeah.
I think it's about 1:15. I'm not sure.
SP1's awesome, so get along. Make sure you get on.
There might also be a competitor's laptop there as well. Might be worth checking out.
One with some fruit on it?
Oranges or something. The closeout party tonight, get to it. Have some fun. If you see us, hand us a free beer. It's all free. It's all good. Config Manager 2012 exam, 7243, admin and deploying Config Manager 2012. If we can pass it, you guys can too. I still don't know how I passed it, Matt. AABCD or something like that. If you've got any questions for us, we are literally going to be at the Premier Support Stand straight after this. We've still got plenty of time after this, so feel free to walk up later on and come see us. Otherwise, feel free to take off and have a bit of a break. So a couple of links. Download SCM. It's free, as Matt said. Have fun with it. Jump online to the Technet Library for Config Manager 2012 and compliance settings. It's actually a very, very good resource. Config Manager Dogs. That's the PFE ANZ Config Manager team blog. jump on there, enjoy it. You can get to check out awesome blogs like Auto Deployment Rules. That's my one and only blog so far. It's quality over quantity, mate, isn't it? Evaluations. Please, guys, if you want a free mouse, I think there's about three given away every day. You've probably seen it every single session you've gone to. Jump on there. Tell us what you thought about today. Was it too deep? Was it not deep enough? Was it too short, too long? Whatever you
think. We'd love to come back next year, so fill them out.
Just tell them how awesome we were. Feel free to, that's our LinkedIn addresses. Feel free to connect with us if you want. There's our Config Manager Dog blog. And again, thank you everyone for coming. Really appreciate your time. Have a great tech ed. Awesome.
Closes and you feel like falling down, I'll carry you home tonight.